The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week in our series on disinformation and the web, we're talking about how the right wing in America has embraced the consumption of raw, unpasteurized milk. I'm joined now by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk and How Critical Thinking Can Save the World. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is the most bizarre thing you've come up with.
It is, I know, and I wish I was making it up. So raw milk, a terrible idea from a health perspective. There have been, in the US alone, there's been several deaths from this in the past 20 years. There's been many, many outbreaks of disease over 2000. So health authorities do not recommend you consume raw, unpasteurized milk. However, for many years in the alternative health community, there's been a perception that there's something more natural and better about it, which is a common fallacy you see in that community. Yeah. Recently, it's metastasized into right-wing commentators who are calling pasteurized milk, and I'm not making this up, state-controlled milk.
State-controlled milk, simply yes. Because it's pasteurized, which effectively means it's heat-treated. So that it lasts longer.
That is exactly what it is. It is literally, you know what, we should kill some bacteria by heat treating this, which is a good idea. Now, currently in the US, the avian flu outbreak has spread to cattle. And we know that if you drink milk from cattle, that there's a high risk that you could actually get that as well. So there's more reason than ever to make sure your milk is treated. However, the reason it's become so popular on the right is that it's contrarian. This comes to the model of you know, It's the idea that the state are trying to control you. And it's become a very popular narrative for grifters who want to try and get an audience. So a lot of this is performative, but it has real health consequences because people actually follow that as advice.
So the idea that anything that seems right and proper and good is deemed to be state-controlled.
We saw that with vaccination and we saw that with, say, lockdowns in the States, which there was massive protests against. It's libertarianism on a health thing. It's the idea that, you know, whatever the state tells me, you can't tell me what to do. It's kind of petulant. It's a little bit childlike in one way, but it has real consequences for the messaging because the people that will react that badly to it are quite happy to manufacture information or to distort the public perception on it. So unfortunately, there's two types. There's people who are victims of this because they take it seriously.
Yeah.
But it is bizarre and you couldn't make it up, could you?
Have they anything else that they're going to latch on to as state-controlled or the stuff of big government?
Well, essentially, they've been doing this for quite some time. It's been flying under the radar to some extent. But there's a large amount of the anti-vaccine movement that's driven by the same idea. For example, public health advice. And remember, public health advice is trying to be nonpartisan. It's trying to look at the entirety of society and go, what would, you know, keep the most people alive? And vaccination is a very obvious candidate for that. It's hugely changed human survival in the past 200 or 300 years. The fact that they would reject that based on the fact that, oh, the government are telling me what to do, that's a common refrain. And you saw that particularly in Florida. We talked about this in the show before. Florida's a really good testbed of that, where people will, in a state full of older people, will still reject it because it's the government telling them what to do.
Now, earlier on, we were talking about the new News Talk podcast about the right wing and what they're saying and whether or not they have electoral chances in the local and European elections. You have been looking at how immigration has jumped up the list of topics that people are considering in their voting choice.
Massively so. So traditionally, in the last few years in Ireland, the number two, the one and two topics have been the housing crisis followed by health. That has always dominated public conversation and political allegiances. In the last week, 29% of the electorate now say that immigration is their number one topic, making that the number one topic that will influence their vote. 85% of those surveyed said they disagree with what the government are doing. Now, that's a little bit ambiguous because there's lots of reasons you might disagree with the government. But what is interesting is how much the conversation has changed towards immigration. Now, remember, immigration is still and refugees and things like that are still minority issues in the scale of the number of people coming into the country.
Yeah.
I think between 2022 and 2023, we had about 26,000 applications for asylum in Ireland, which is actually relatively minor, right, in the scheme of things, whereas health and housing affect a lot more. But this has become very dominant in the narrative recently. And we've seen online, we were talking recently about, say, Newtown Mount Kennedy, that a lot of the online chatter about that was coming from the United States and from other places, but masquerading as Irish people. This is a really common trait. Before the Brexit referendum, immigration was not the number one topic to British voters. But as it became more and more popular in discourse and was pushed by people like Nigel Farage and other characters, it suddenly became the number one force in British politics.
And did it impact on the result?
It absolutely did. I mean, remember Nigel Farage's famous poster? It was all the line of darker-skinned people queuing up. It was quite a racist poster, to be honest with you. That really galvanised people. And there's a reason for that psychologically. It's a thing called availability heuristic. The more something is discussed, the more easy it is for us to recall, the more we start apportioning it seriousness. We start weighing it heavier.
Yeah.
The fact that immigration has been so driven in certain conversations by a fringe group has now made it quite mainstream. So people remember, oh, what's important? I think that immigration stuff is important. It's also been framed as a zero-sum game that refugees and immigrants are competing with Irish people for housing. Now, that is not the case. We know that, you know, people coming into the country are living in tents and modular homes. This is not what Irish people are living in. So it's very strangely framed. But the fact that it's become so dominant in conversation is now the number one issue to the electorate shows you that these fringe conversations can percolate through.
And the numbers you have, 29% immigration as the topic that preoccupies them, 19% housing, 10% lower.
It's been a massive
shift.
Then
4% the HSE.
Yeah. Health. And these are, and what is, and this is something that's really important. It's very easier for us to be played by dishonest actors. So, I mean, going back to Brexit, we had Nigel Farage trying to make immigration the number one issue, and he technically succeeded in doing that. We don't want to repeat of that here. This, by the way, is happening across Europe. Right-wing populists are trying to make immigration the number one issue because it makes a very easy villain that they can victimise and point a finger at. We need to be very careful of that and realise that this is still, I mean, obviously health and housing are much bigger issues, and it's important we remember that.
This is a comment from John Wicklow. I saw on social media recently someone advocating the use of raw chicken bones as teething aids for babies.
Good Lord.
How toxic and dangerous is that? Brought up on a dairy farm. We had raw milk every day. We used to take the cream on top of the milk and whip it. Myself and my siblings are as healthy as horses. That's from Dorothy.
That is a great example of survivorship bias. Just because it didn't hurt you, it on average hurts people.
Did drink milk straight from the cow back in the day before everything was pasteurised.
Absolutely, they did. And a lot of people got very, very ill. It was lucky that person didn't get ill, but on average, people did get ill. As we point out in the United States, they've had over 2,600 outbreaks of illness caused by it. So just because it didn't affect you doesn't mean it doesn't affect other people.
Mm. And it's a general public health measure that milk be pasteurised. Yeah. Now, there's something that broke overnight and I haven't seen much about it today, and that is investigations into the European Parliament and who might be talking too closely to the Chinese and the Russians.
And the Russians, yes. So there was a raid yesterday in the European Parliament on the offices of one of the staffers. Now, this is someone connected to Alternative for Deutschland, the right-wing German party. And they were taking bribes, and this is the from Russian intelligence assets to put on more pro-Russian fronts. This is a common thing that's happened quite a bit. Russian and Chinese forces want politicians in there who will be soft on Russia or soft on China. And bribery is a common goal. And this person was clumsy. So this is still a breaking story when it came out last night. The raid was yesterday by the Belgian police. But it's a wider investigation. We've seen similar investigations happening around the European Union. There's an awful lot of countries that are now realising that they have MEPs who are being bribed,
and
essentially.
This is not hysteria, like reds under the bed kind of thing.
This is not. And actually, we have good evidence on several people. I say we, the royal we here. But this has been a known factor. And this is, by the way, historically common. I mean, during the Cold War, there was bribed politicians, there was bribed journalists. This did happen. But the fact that it's being investigated by the Belgian police this way means it's gone to another level. We've known it for a while, but the fact they're making raids is done with a fair amount of evidence. The names have been put online. We are not going to discuss it here for legal reasons, but it'll be interesting to see how that pans out in the context of a European election.
All right. David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.